I'm going to turn to a passage which is probably one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, but in my recollection, I don't think I've ever preached from it before. And sometimes you come to the passages you know well, and you try to sit down and prepare a sermon, and you realize you could probably do about 10 sermons from it, but we're going to try and get through it this morning. I'll try not to keep you too long, but I want us to turn to Psalm 23. Probably the most well-known psalm in the Bible, probably the most well-known portion in the Bible. There's many people who know very little about the Bible in our world, and yet they'll still know this psalm. And it's been so powerful over the age of the church and right back into the Old Testament. And it's been a blessing to so many people in different times of life. And we want to read it this morning. We want to try and unpack what God wants to say to us from it. So it's Psalm 23, and the Lord, the shepherd of his people. It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And keep your Bibles open there, and we're going to work through this psalm briefly this morning. We're also going to go to a few other places in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and this theme of God as shepherd. And let's just pray as we come to look at this very well-known passage of the Bible together. Father, we thank you this morning just for the privilege it is to meet together. Lord, we come from different places, different ages, different experiences, and yet we unite to worship you and to hear your word. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us now. And Lord, that you would help us to leave this place, Lord, with a blessing and a challenge and an encouragement. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to confess that I'm a real townie. I have spent very little time on a farm. Probably the sort of biggest experience I had of farm life was going to Streamville Farm with school when I was younger. I got married there last July, and Jan, my wife, she'll be with me tonight. She's doing Sunday school this morning in Great Vic. But her sister married a man from South Armagh who keeps sheep. And so I have learned probably over the last couple of years of me going out with Jan a little bit more about sheep. I wouldn't say I'll be writing any books about sheep anytime soon, but I know a little bit more about them, a little bit more acquainted with them. I've seen the workload of trying to look after sheep. Now, Alistair, he has a job in joinery, and he sort of keeps sheep on the side, which a lot of people seem to do in that sort of neck of the woods. But I see him come home from work, and he's straight out to look after the sheep, and he gets the family involved, all looking after the sheep. I've seen how hard it is. I've seen the number of times he's up during the night and going down to check on them, make sure they're okay. I don't know how he survives on the amount of sleep that he does. You know, I've seen the busyness of lambing season, when he's sort of pretty much on call, waiting for the next lambs to come and to be there. And I've seen the volatile temperament of the ram he has at times. And I've even been able to, New Year's Eve a couple of years ago, to witness a little lamb being born. It was a bit of a sight, but it was amazing to be there and to see that. And I've seen just how hard work sheep are to look after. And we turn to Psalm 23. It's a familiar friend. Many of you probably know it off by heart. But it's composed by King David, the man who's described as being after God's own heart. And we learn about a young shepherd boy who learned probably his greatest lessons, not as a king, not as a warrior, but as that young shepherd boy as he kept the sheep in Bethlehem. As a young man. And I just want to walk through this psalm this morning and see just how it applies to our lives in 2016. And I love this psalm because every time you come to it, you can come to it in different situations in life. You can come to it knowing it off by heart, knowing it really well. And yet I believe God always has something to say to us from it. And I really enjoyed studying it the last sort of week or two as I prepared to preach this and seeing things that I'd never seen before. And I hope that God will bless us this morning with it. But David, he starts the psalm with those well-known words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And David immediately transports us into a metaphor that he's going to illustrate throughout this psalm, a story, an illustration to describe his experience with God and his walk with God. And he uses the experience of a sheep with a shepherd. And the theme of God as a shepherd is very common in the Bible as you look through it. It's one of those great sort of titles given to God as you read throughout the Old Testament, this idea of God as shepherd, and it becomes richer and richer as you go throughout the Bible. And then, of course, you come into the New Testament, and Jesus comes and he says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of David who has come to shepherd Israel." In Psalm 80, verse 1, the psalmist says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth." Psalm 95, verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hands." Turn to Isaiah 40, that really well-known, wonderful comfort that God gives his people that describes how great and how mighty God is. You know, the nations are like a drop in the bucket to him. And yet you read in verse 11 of Isaiah 40, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom." You come into the New Testament and you come to 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And as Peter exhorts the church, and as he exhorts those who are ruling over them to teach them well and to shepherd them well, he says in 5 verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Throughout the Bible, you see it, this imagery of God as a shepherd, Jesus as a shepherd, and we as his sheep. It's a picture of care. It's a picture of intimacy. It's a picture of provision that God makes for his people and for his church. Now, shepherding has changed a lot since back in Bible times. I'm going to illustrate that a little later on as well. But that's still a picture of intimacy. That picture of care and provision is there. And that great truth of the Bible, that God is a God who loves us, God is a God who cares for us, God who is a God who has saved his church from their sins, brought them into his family. And he has this pastoral role as a shepherd over each one of us. And these truths, they're not just to be taught from pulpits, not just to be read and sung, but they're to be experienced in life. You see, that's what David says. He doesn't just say that the Lord is a shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's an emphatic statement of something that he has proved in his life. The Lord is my shepherd. It's been personally experienced. Look at how he says this. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And it's something I only realized in the last number of years, where you see that written in your Bible, "Lord" in capital letters. It's a very special name that's given for God. There are several names given for God throughout the Bible and in the Old Testament. And where you see that word written "Lord" there in capital letters, that signifies the name Yahweh, the covenant name for God, the name that God had given to his people, Yahweh, the Lord. It was the name that was used by those who were in relationship with God, relationship with him. And then when you see that written there, "Lord," it's that special name. And here's David, and he's saying, "Yahweh is my shepherd. He's my shepherd." This isn't just something that David knows in his head. This isn't just something that David has heard. This is something David has experienced. He's experienced it through the rough and the tumble of life. And then he can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who cares for me. He's the one who looks after me. He's the one I follow. He's the covenant-keeping God. Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have proven him to meet my every need, to care for me, to lead me, to help me." I just want to pick up on a few points quickly this morning from this psalm. And the first thing I want us to pick up in is that, well, God is shepherd for David. What had he proven to David? Why does David come out with this emphatic statement that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Well, firstly, he proved God to be a provider. He proved God to be a provider. Look at verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And I think we take this for granted in Northern Ireland and in Ireland and in Britain. You know, we live in the green grass of Ireland. You know, the very wet, the mild climate, the rolling hills, the green grass. There's plenty of green grass to go around. We get plenty of rain. There's plenty of streams and rivers and everything else. Plenty of water to drink. In many ways, our country, it's a paradise for sheep. There's plenty of green pastures. There's plenty of still waters. Now, I have never been to Israel. From what I understand of it, there's a lot less green pastures there. There's a lot more desert. There's a lot more mountain. And it took a good shepherd to lead his sheep to green pasture and to still water. They didn't have the same sort of farming methods that we have today. And they wouldn't have had that green pasture and that still water. So David here, he's given a picture of provision, a picture of shelter, of rest, of food, and of water. He's sort of presenting a paradise for sheep. And he's saying that this is his experience. This shepherd that he knows, Yahweh, has brought him to lie down in green pastures. He's led him beside the still waters. He's brought him through the wilderness, through the barrenness, to a place of rest, a place of provision. God had provided the best nourishment for him. He looked after his needs. He brought him rest and shelter. And now we have to be very careful when we read passages like this in the Bible. We have to be very careful that we don't stray into what's known as the prosperity gospel. And very often teachers will take passages like this and say, God wants you to be healthy, he wants you to be wealthy, he wants you to be wise, he wants you to have no problems in your life, he just wants you to go on through, and life will be easy, life will be abundant. Sure, here it is, it's written in Scripture. And you see them flying around in their very expensive jets asking people for lots of money, because if you give money, then God's going to bless you and he's going to give you health, he's going to give you wealth. And you're not going to have anything. If there's something wrong in your life, if something goes wrong, well, that's your fault. You need to trust God. And if you trust God, life's just going to be plain sailing. Is that what David is saying here in Psalm 23? Is that what he's saying? That David never had a worry or a difficulty? That life was always green pastures and still waters? Does following this servant Yahweh, or this shepherd Yahweh, mean an earthly life of bliss? Well, that wasn't David's experience, was it? You look at the life of David throughout the Bible, you read about it. As a young boy, he was out minding the sheep. What did he face? He faced the lion, he faced the bear. He lived at a time of constant war and insecurity. As a young boy, all his brothers were away fighting in the war. He goes to visit them, and the whole army's running scared because of Goliath and the Philistines. He faces Goliath, this giant of a man who could have snapped him like a twig. He plays the harp for King Saul, and he does his best by King Saul. And what happens to him? He has a spear thrown at him, and he has to run for his life. And he spends years in the wilderness and in the desert running for his life, hiding in caves, fighting battles. At one point, his family are kidnapped. He loses a child. He's a son who rebels against him and tries to take his throne. He faces constant opposition from many enemies. Yet what does David say? Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. David was not testifying here that life was plain sailing and that life was carefree. What's he saying? He's testifying to a God who nourished and sustained him spiritually through all those times. Who gave him times of rest. Who gave him times of communion with his shepherd. Who nourished his soul and helped him through all those difficulties. He proved God to be a provider. Secondly, he proved God to be a redeemer. He proved God to be a redeemer. Modern farming is very different. We've sheep sheds, we've fields with boundaries. If you've ever unfortunately come across one, we've electric fences as well. And all these things to keep sheep in the right place, to stop them from straying away. In ancient Israel, the shepherd didn't have that. He was out with the sheep and they wandered. They wandered the hillside, they wandered the country, and he had to try and keep them all together. They roamed about. And the thing about sheep is they often stray. They often get lost. They go the wrong way. They get themselves into trouble. And it wasn't until I started to study this psalm and really look into it that I saw something in a new light that I'd never seen before. And it's in verse 3. It says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And that first part, "He restores my soul," it's often taken back into verse 2. That God leads you by the green pastures, he leads you by the still waters, and he restores your soul. He provides for you physically, he meets your needs. And I can't have that idea. But very interestingly, when you look throughout the Psalms, and you look at this verb that's used there to restore, it's used in other places to mean something else. Carries a different meaning. And it often has the meaning of repentance. It often has the meaning of restoring from sin. And I think it connects more with the next part of that. It's he restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness. I think what David's saying there, he's talking about God bringing him back when he strayed. He restores me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Psalm 19 verse 7, where a very similar word to this word is used. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Hosea 14 and verse 1, again a very similar word is used. "O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity." David had a shepherd that redeemed him. He had a shepherd that would go and would bring him back when he strayed. A shepherd who would keep him on the right path and restore him when he went off. And that again is a key theme of God as shepherd in the Bible. When you look through it, God is a shepherd who guides his people on the right path. And when they stray off it, he goes and he brings them back. He forgives their sin. He brings them back from their wandering and their idolatry. Ezekiel 34 is a wonderful chapter of God as shepherd and God condemning the leaders of Israel for leading the people astray. It says in Ezekiel 34 verse 6, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock were scattered over the whole face of the earth and no one was seeking or searching for them." And yet God says down in verses 23 and 24 of Ezekiel 34, "I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them." Carrying on this theme of the shepherd, one was going to come. One was going to come of the line of David, and he would be their shepherd. God would be their shepherd. He would bring them back from their wandering, from their idolatry, and he would be their God. And this son of David would shepherd them. And we find that in Jesus. Jesus comes, and he comes as the good shepherd. Luke 15, 1-7, what's that? It's the story of the lost sheep. Where's Jesus? He's sitting with the tax collectors, he's sitting with the sinners, he's sitting with the people that no one else had time for. And he's getting condemned for it. He's getting condemned for it. And what does he do? He turns around and he tells this story. He tells the story of the shepherd who goes out to find lost sheep. And when he finds that sheep, he puts it on his shoulders and he comes back rejoicing and he tells all his friends, "I found my sheep that's gone astray." He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God, as shepherd, he brings us back. He leads us in the right path. He's our redeemer. And he brought that redemption at the cross. The place where God redeemed us to bring us back from the paths of sin. Isaiah 53 verse 6 pointing to Jesus on the cross. What does it say? It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. David proved God to be a redeemer as his shepherd. You think of David's life, you think of some of the things he did, and yet God brought him back. God redeemed him. God kept him on the right path. God's people, they need a shepherd who will, we need a shepherd who will redeem us. So bring us back from those paths of sin, restore our souls, lead us in the paths of righteousness. David, he proved God to be a redeemer. Thirdly, he proved God to be a protector, a protector. And probably the most famous part of this psalm, and it's a part that's made, has meant so much to people who've been going through pain and sorrow and suffering. Verse 4, yes, Lord, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I started thinking a little bit about sheep this week. As you think about sheep, they sort of got a bit of a raw deal when it comes to the animal kingdom. You think of the amazing way that God has designed animals to be able to escape predators. You think of some of those lizards that can change color to blend into the trees. You think of those sort of birds and animals and antelopes and things like that. They've got agility, they've got speed, and they can get away from predators. They can get away from prey. And then you have sheep. Probably one of the most defenseless animals and docile animals there are. Sheep got a bit of a raw deal when it comes to defending themselves. And David's world was not a safe place for sheep. They traveled across the countryside in search of grass to eat. There were lions, there were bears, there were bandits, there were dogs, there were flash floods, there were places you could fall. There were all these different things for sheep to contend with. They needed defended. David had done it himself. We read that in Samuel. You know how David comes to Saul and says he wants to take on Goliath. And Saul laughs at him. How on earth could you take on Goliath? And he says, well, what about the lion and the bear that came to attack my sheep? And God delivered them into my hands. I killed them to protect my sheep. You know, he knew what it was to protect sheep. And he knew that that was his experience of what God had done for him. When the sheep were in the valley, they needed a shepherd to protect them. When they've left the safety of the hillside, they've gone into a valley, and if they're attacked, they've nowhere to run. A place of darkness, a place of fear, a place the sheep needed to travel through. And as David, as he thinks upon his time as a shepherd, he brings that into his own life, and he thinks of the valleys that he has been through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Whatever the valley was, even the valley of the shadow of death, David could trust in a God who'd protect him. And if we're honest, we know that. We know this psalm. We love to trust in that as Christians. When we go through the valleys of life, God is with us. God is our protector. He's our helper. And yet if we're being honest, often when we do go through those valleys, our experience can be that God can seem absent. God can seem distant. We can be fearful. We can be confused, and it seems sometimes like we go through those valleys alone. And the interesting thing is, if you read the rest of the Psalms, David often felt like that. You read the Psalms and he says, how long, O Lord? You read the Psalms and David says, you know, Lord, when are you going to deliver me? He didn't always have this confidence that he reflects here on Psalm 23 when he went through those valleys himself. But having gone through those valleys, his experience and his reflection have taught him that God was there. That God was fighting that evil on his behalf. That God was with him that whole time. Farming certainly has advanced the last few years. I was down with my sister and brother-in-law a few weeks ago. We were out for dinner in a restaurant, and I saw Alistair looking at his phone. And on his phone, he has an app where he can look into the cameras that he's put up in the sheep sheds, and he can sit in the restaurant and he can keep an eye on the sheep. So he can be sitting there and he can be checking, making sure they're okay, that nothing's going wrong with them as we're sitting out for dinner. And after a while, his wife tells him to put it away and to talk to us. But anywhere he is, he can go on his phone, he can keep an eye on the sheep. And as I thought about that, you know, the sheep themselves, they have no idea that their shepherd is watching them. They're in that shed at night, and Alistair's, you know, in the house, or he's there, and he's looking at them. He's making sure they're okay. He's making sure there's no danger, there's no harm. Those sheep don't know that. They could be agitated. They could be fearful. They think they're alone. But their shepherd's watching over them, and he's there to rush in if he needs to. And as I thought about that, I thought, that's so true. That's what David is saying here. Sometimes we don't realize it. But David is testifying to the fact that the shepherd is there to protect him in the valleys of life, even though sometimes he didn't see it. God has been his protector. He's been his protector. Very quickly, I just want to finish looking at the last two verses of this psalm. David, as he comes full picture, he looks forward. And he's proven God to be a provider, to be a redeemer, to be a protector. And David himself, he's looking forward to being a dweller. To being a dweller. Verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David ends the metaphor in a way. This isn't talking about sheep anymore. He's talking about his own experience as a king. God had given him victory. God had prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. It was like a victory feast after a battle. But it's pointing forward. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And some of the commentators try to say, well, that's just the rest of his life. But I think if you read it, it points beyond that. It points to eternity. It points to heaven. It points to beyond death, when he will dwell in the house of God forever. You think of David. David wanted to build God a house on earth. He wanted to build him a temple. God said, no, your son will build the temple. God didn't allow him. Where is David wanting to dwell? He's wanting to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's looking past death. And he's talking not about an earthly dwelling. He's talking about a heavenly dwelling. Dwelling in God's presence. That God would guide him through that final valley, and we bring him to the house of the Lord forever. And I just want to finish with the picture we find in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, John's given that great vision of the throne room of heaven. There's a great multitude no man can number. And he's told that the ones who are dressed in white robes are the ones who have been through the tribulation and have come out and washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. And it says in verses 15 to 17 of Revelation 7, it says, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And here we have a heavenly picture of what David is referring to in Psalm 23. The other side of the cross, of course, looking on into eternity. But here's David saying, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He didn't have the fullness of that revelation. But if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you're one of God's people, that's what we look forward to. We look forward to dwelling with our shepherd forever in heaven. It's the sure hope of every Christian. And as we come to a close this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you're tired on the journey. You're like those sheep that need to lie down in the green pasture, that need to go by the still water. Life is busy, it's hectic, you're tired, you feel like you can't cope. Maybe you need to carve out a little bit of time with the Lord. and go to that green pasture, go by that still water, and let him, you know, feed and provide for you in your spiritual life. I find it quite often when you're involved in God's work, whether it be youth work or children's work or work in church, we can get tired, we can get discouraged, and sometimes we do. We need God to provide for us. We need to take a time aside and just let him fill our hearts again. Carve out time to spend with him. Maybe you're here this morning and you need God as Redeemer. Maybe you've wandered. Maybe you know that you're not living your life right before him this morning. And you feel far from him. You need to confess that. You need to come back. You need to call out to your shepherd as Redeemer. Come back to the cross again. And let him bring you back on the right path. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through the valley. And you need God as protector. Evil is all around. And I just pray this morning that you'll experience what David experienced. That even though he was going through the valley, even though at times we read from the Psalms, he didn't see God's presence, yet he knew God was with him. And that you would discover that experience this morning, a good shepherd who's there beside you and will lead you through no matter what the valley. Psalm 23, God is provider, God is protector, God is redeemer, and David looking forward to being with the God that he could dwell with.